How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Fear not, I am with thee, oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldest die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldest die for me?
To thee, near, near. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing. Standing on the promises of Christ my Savior, standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God. Jesus on the main line, tell it what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell it what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him what you want. If you need forgiveness, tell him what you want. If you need forgiveness, tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him what you want. If you need his spirit, tell him what you want. If you need his spirit, tell him what you want. If you need his spirit, tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him what you want. Wisdom. If you need his wisdom, tell him what you want. If you need his wisdom, tell him what you want. If you need his wisdom, tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him what you want. Well, just play a little bit, get a little quiet. 6-7-8-G. Want a little participation here. Somebody shout out what they want from the Lord. We'll try to squeeze it in the song.
Love.
Love? Okay. All right.
If you need more love, tell him what you want. If you need more love, tell him what you want. If you need more love, tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him what you want.
Get that G again. Ooh. Uh-oh. Patience, you sure about that? All right, we're gonna do it.
If you need more patience, tell him what you want. If you need more patience, tell him what you want. If you need more patience, tell him what you want. Call him. Tell him what you want.
One more.
Peace.
Peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, right now, Lord, lift up Jerusalem.
Yes.
We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. They grant peace there. And this war is going blowing up everywhere, Lord. We know your coming is very soon, and this is one of the signs. Lord, I speak. the peace I'm looking for is maybe not the end of bombs and missiles, but that people get saved. Because we know this is supposed to happen. You prophesied it. But Lord, I'm asking for an outpouring of your spirit and a great revival. Hallelujah. Great revival, Lord. In the midst of all this craziness, let revival break out, Lord. If you need more peace, tell him what you want. If you need more peace, tell him what you want. If you need more peace, tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him what you want.
Jesus on the main line.
Oh, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him what you want. Oh,
our scripture reading this morning comes from Hebrews 3, 7 through 9. It says, know that this is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. It is indeed a great honor and pleasure to stand before you this morning. His pastor was called to fill in Kennesaw on very short notice. The pastor there is having some medical issues. We need to pray for him as well as Pastor Grady, as he is there delivering a message. And don't forget about me, because we just got back from a week-long trip driving across South Carolina and Eastern Georgia yesterday, seeing some of the damage and devastation that they are dealing with. There was people on the side of the road who have run out of gas, people at gas stations waiting for the power to come back on so they can get gas to move on. I mean, trees down everywhere. And I was just thinking, Lord, wow, you know, I mean, because I was following the storm. And it was projected to come right across here. Yes. And so I didn't pray it on someone else, but as Lord protect our home and, you know, the things that you've given us, and he did. Now, I'm not one to tell God what to do, neither should you. I learned that lesson a long time ago. He wants my opinion. He'll ask me, and he has it so far, and I don't see him starting today. But anyway, like I say, it is a great pleasure to stand before you. Like I say, I want to also, I started about three times ago, the Lord dealt with me to teach out of Hebrews chapter 11. And I don't feel any different to go anywhere else, so I figure we'll continue from there. But before we do anything, let's open up with a word of prayer, because the Lord knows I need it this morning, because I could say, you know, just the getting back, you need a vacation from the vacation sometimes. And we'll get that tomorrow morning, I'm sure. Anyway, Father, we do thank you, Lord, for who you are. I thank you, Lord, that you're the great God of glory, Lord. And there's nothing that has ever or ever will escape your attention, Lord. There's not one issue, Lord, that you are not aware of or in control of, Lord. As we walk through our daily lives, Lord, we sometimes may falter in doubt, Lord, are you here? Are you with us? And the answer is yes, he always is. So, Father, let me step aside this morning. Just let me be a vessel of which you speak through, Lord. Father, because I do not ever want to depend upon myself or get to thinking I'm somebody I'm not. Lord, we dealt with that, I feel like, years ago. And I thank you, Lord, for getting me straight on that. Lord, that without you, I am nothing. Unless the branch remains in the vine, we cannot do anything without him and without you, Lord. So, Father, let your anointing flow. Let your people hear. Let us understand and draw closer to you this day, Father. In the holy name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. All righty. The journey of faith is what we'll call it this morning. Started out, you know, where is your faith? The first two sections, we spoke on, you know, different patriarchs, different ones that were there. You know, that really, really good. We spoke of Abel and Cain, you know, we know that story, and Enoch, and down through Noah last time, you know, which is a very interesting study. But today we come to Abraham. And we could be here for about a month of Sundays on Abraham. He's venerated through three different religions, Christianity, Judaism, and the Muslims venerate Abraham. Abraham's quite a person. I mean, just awesomeness. I do want to read a few scriptures that I didn't give to anyone to put on there, but just in Timothy, 1 Timothy, it says, who is alone immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen nor can see, to him be honor and might and forever, glory forever. Amen. He is the invisible. Now we've switched over to Colossians. He is the invisible. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and things on the earth. Invisible, whether it be thrones, powers, rulers, authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning of the firstborn from among the dead, so that everything he might have the supremacy. Just a few faith-building scriptures this morning, you know, because, and that one right there is really dear to me because of that time. Many of you heard his story. Back in 2013, when I had three doctors tell me, you're fixing to die, get your house in order, you're fixing to die. I kind of felt like Hezekiah in a way, like Isaiah had come talk to me, you're fixing to die, and I knew it, and I felt it, and there was no doubt in my mind it was coming. As I was walking down by that fence there on Pine Grove Road here in Cartersville, and that scripture came to mind, and I said, Lord, you hold all things together. So you're even holding these, whatever it is in here, you're holding it together, it's causing me problems. So I'm asking you to let it go without harm. And before I got the words out, my chest stretched out, and I could breathe again. Now, he gave me some more time. Now, I don't know if it's 15 years, 30 years, or what, but I wasn't completely healed, because I don't want to live to be 120. Yeah, I'm already having problems at 60. But he healed me enough to continue on the work that he's called me to do. Now, it wasn't long after that, you know, where I wound up here, you know, like I say, you know, we'd went through some bad times at different churches, you know, and I made the statement, and God laughed when I said it, if I ever step foot in church again, it'd be too soon. Well, guess what? God liked you. And I didn't mean that against him. It's this, not God, it was his people, or church folks, we'll call them. We used to call them back then, the ones that come to church to be seen, who come for the wrong reasons. Church folks, you know, ones who want to show off who they are. They want to show off their giftings. They want to speak a little louder. They want to run a little harder. They want to be seen, you know, so they could be lifted up and honored. And I think to a degree we've all went through there. I have. I can remember a time, you know, I wanted everybody to know what I knew. I wanted you to, I know, I learned this. I want you to hear what I got to say. And I went through that stage. But I learned real quickly, no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And I thought, Lord, forgive me. Now let's try to do this the right way this time. Because any good thing, anything in me comes directly from him. Anything in you, y'all, comes directly from him. His mercies are new every morning. His forgiveness is there every day. He's not worried about the mistake you made yesterday, nor is he worried about the ones you're going to make tomorrow, next Tuesday. When we fall flat on our face, we blow it, and we didn't see that coming, but boom, there it is. How did that happen? Lord, you've got to be upset with me. I've let you down. No, you never hold him up. He's holding you up. You can't let him down. And you can't disappoint him because he knew you was going to do it to start with. He's loved you anyway. So as we begin to understand this, who our God is, we can't really relate in our little gray matter, finite mind, this who God is. If we could, he'd be too small to be God. If we could understand his ways, he would be too small to be the God that we need, that we could depend on every single second of every day. And as when I really get to thinking on these things, oh, it drives me to my knees. It humbles me so much to think, God, you know me. You knew me. You saw where I've been. You know my shortcomings. And you love me anyway. Not only did you love me, you saved me. I no longer had to spend eternity separated from your presence. That's what scares me the most, or makes me, I can't think of the right word. What bothers and troubles me the most, you know, I mean, I know separation and the place we call hell and Gehenna and all these other places, the terrible place where the unsaved are going, the pain and suffering, the loneliness and all that, as bad as that is, as hard as that would be, what troubles me the most is my God's not there. To never be able to call upon his name and him not be there. To never walk with him. And Lord, you know today, what a mess. But you got me through it. And Lord, I can look back. I've made a mistake here. I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done that. And maybe I should have handled that situation a little differently. Help me to rectify it tomorrow. But other times when I should have dropped it, he held me up and saw me through it. All the way through. He's always by our side. Even when we don't sense him. You know where God is at when you don't sense his presence and think he's a million miles away? He's right there beside you, not wanting you to feel his presence and know he's there. Mm-hmm. But he's there. We walk by faith, not by sight. Mm-hmm. See, if we believe his promises, he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And I know for a fact, if he had left me for about the smallest amount of time that could be measured, which is a number of about 68 zeros in behind it, I would be dead. Because the enemies of us is there just waiting to get to you and destroy you. But there's angels also saying, not today. You know, and this is really, it's a spiritual war that we fight each day, that we walk in every day, a spiritual war. It's a war of words. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We do fight against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are rankings of fallen angels, as angels as well, that we fight against. And I've said this many times, and you've heard it plenty of times, I'm sure. You know, once you grow a new level, a new devil. Mm-hmm. May be true, but guess what? Same God. Yes. Mm-hmm. Every one of those devils and enemies are submitted to his authority and his power and can do nothing. That nothing can come through to us unless it is Father filtered. And if the Father allows it, it's for our strengthening, for our growing, for us to learn, to grow in him. If you've been saved more than a week, I'm sure you can look back and see things that God has brought you through. You may not have understood them at the time, and some of them you may not still understand. But I've learned this phrase I heard years ago. Don't just go through it, grow through it. Learn from it. I've learned now when something hits that's uncomfortable, instead of, you know, beginning to pray and look for the escape hatch, you know, reminding God of the scripture that he won't allow us to, you know, have anything come upon us we can't bear, you know, blah, 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 and so on and so forth on it, that many of us are looking for the escape hatch. And sometimes that may be a good thing. One translation puts it this way, that he gives you the strength to bear up under it. God knew it was coming. God has put you there for a reason. God has you right where he wants you to be. So I learn now, Lord, after I pray, Lord, for you to remove it, if he does it, do I have a lack of faith? Do I need to go fast a little longer? Do I need to just quote a few more scriptures and maybe do a few other things, rebuke a few devils, and maybe it's on me? No, no, no. I learned a long time ago, God, you're in charge of everything. You hear my prayer. And if you're not moving this mountain, then we're going over to going through it. And you're going right there with me. You're right with me through the entire thing. That should bring us great comfort to know that God not only loves us, but he is there with us. He's your biggest cheerleader. He is with you. Come on, pick it up. Yeah, I know you messed up. Don't worry about that. You know, hey, it's done. It's over. Learn from it. What caused you to get there? Don't do that no more. Pick up and keep going. Keep going. Keep going. I feel like sometimes if this was a baseball game, we're at third base, fixing to make the final sprint to the home plate. I think we're that close. The crowd is cheering. The angels are cheering. Come on, run. You're nearly there. Well, you trip. Get up and come on anyway. You know, dust yourself off and keep going. And I can only imagine that day when it comes, whether it be through the rapture of the church or whether it be death of the body or however it chooses to come. When I close my eyes in this world and I open them in the next, then we will know what eyeballs are made for. Then we will know what we were made for. Then we will see, like John the Revelator, the first thing he noticed was the throne of God. Can you imagine that? We hear about God. We sense his presence. We see him answer our prayers. We see all these things. He's healed us. He's walked with us. But imagine to step in to glory. And just the sheer beauty, the peacefulness, the finally home. That, there's no words. There is no words. And I know a lot of people think or say, I've heard it, I wish I could just get a glimpse of heaven. No. I'll leave it to then for the very reason. If I were to get a glimpse of heaven, I'd be trying to find me a skyscraper to jump off of so I could get back. You know, and Paul, for example, I believe, when he had gotten stoned there and they drug him out of the city as dead, I think he did die. The time and fits where he did, talked about it in 2 Corinthians, where he went, you know, and saw and heard things, and it was unlawful for him to talk about. That's the reason Paul didn't write Revelation, because he would have said, nah, what's the use? You won't get it anyway. Mm-hmm. Where John, he tried his best through the help of the Holy Spirit to make us understand. But he had a thorn in the flesh and a messenger of Satan to buffet him. to keep him humble. I don't need that, nor do I want that. There's times I feel like I may have got a somewhat of a vision or image or seen colors of heaven, but I'll just wait. He won't be that much longer. Could be today. Coming home yesterday, you know, I was doing a left turn, and all of a sudden, as I went to turn, here comes this SUV right up beside me. I thought, where'd he come from? He nearly rear-ended me. And here we are in South Carolina. You know, but there again, Satan said, I'm fixing to get him. God said, no, you're not. And he didn't. I mean, I was like, you know, I didn't get mad, get out and get mad and start pointing fingers. What's wrong with you? I just like, thank you, Lord, that could have been bad. So I didn't see it coming. I was relaxed, fixing to turn. I could have turned into him. He could have broadsided me. He could hit us in the backside. You know, we're already fragile, old as we are. But God protected me, even there, just that quick. It could have been bad, but it wasn't. There may come a time that it is, but not today, not yesterday. But anyway, as we get into this, Book of Hebrews was written while the temple was still standing. I got to find my place. I didn't get lost. It happens. But anyway, this temple was still standing. So the believers, the Christian believers, had a real problem here. They had come out of Judaism. The sacrifices were still going on. Sacrificial system was still going on. The priest was still ministering at the altar. And now they're coming to the family and saying, well, I believe that Jesus, as we call him, Yeshua, is the true Messiah. And that all these things we've been doing for all these years are pointing to him. And he has now fulfilled them. So we now no longer have a need to do these things. And you know how the religious crowd can be. If you've been around some church folks over the years, you know how they can be. You know, they probably, you know, breathe in so hard it pulls somebody's mouth straight into the church. You know, I can't, you what? This was what the scriptures taught us for years. We've got to keep doing this, you know, without having a in-depth, true understanding of the scriptures, which we must pursue and have. Because we can take a look at the New Testament and we can become so legalistic that we can be more harm than good. We all worry about backsliding, and we should. What about front sliding? And what I mean by that is you become so legalistic that you slide beyond the cross. And I went through that stage early on, you know, even to the point I like to get popped pretty hard back in the early mid-80s, this, you know, where it talks about in Timothy that the lady shouldn't have braided hair and all this stuff, you know, and this girl come to church with braided hair, and I kind of flew into her pretty hard, and she flew back. You know, I did it with the best intentions, but I was wrong. That's only a little bit of the story, you know. That's that they shouldn't be, their outward appearance, it should have an inward change, inward beauty that comes out from within. You know, you get both of those things together, then you've got something. And I was very legalistic to start with. And I think a lot of these folks were too. So the temptation was here, okay, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe he fulfilled all this. And if you really study the scriptures, the law was not meant to be a permanent fix. It was a sacrificial system because God knew that we as humans could not keep his commands. You know, well, I live by the Ten Commandments, really. Okay, you might possibly get through the first 9 of them. You just might. But when number 10, it will slew you. Slay you, lay you open. And if you get through the Ten Commandments, Jesus explained them a little more clearly on the Sermon on the Mount. That's some hard teachings. And I've read that for years, like, there ain't no way that I can live this out every day. But even if I could, the last verse of it is, be you perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Game over. Mm-hmm. From my point of view, game over. You know, if you had ever committed one, if there is such a thing, little bitty sin, had a bad thought, got mad at someone without a cause, you know, said something you shouldn't have said, game over. You're not perfect no more. Well, then we have a problem. Because to be in the presence of a holy God, we must be perfect. And we're all in trouble. But on the flip side of that, if I can use this terminology, God had a problem. Because he wants us there. But because of his holiness and who he is, he cannot allow sin into his presence. And we are fallen creatures, fallen nature. We cannot be in his presence. So, but thank God he fixed the problem. Everything that was written aforetime, Paul says, is written for our learning, for us to learn, for us to grasp. So we must take the scriptures very seriously. Now, I've heard people say, well, you've got to take it literally, and there's places that you need to. But if you take it literally, you think in Psalms 91 that God has feathers. There's over 200 different types of analogies and similes in the Bible, where there's times God does use analogies, models, types, foreshadowings of. And it can be hard sometimes to grasp it. But I thank God for that, that it's an ongoing study and learning experience. Simply because if I could comprehend it the first time I read it, I'd be done a long time ago. But how can we, as humans, even begin to comprehend the awesomeness and power of God and grasp it? We really can't. But what we can do, God will give you a little nugget sometimes just to see what you will do with it. Maybe a talent, if you will. He'll give you a talent. He'll see what you do with it. You're going to go and hide it in the dirt, or you're going to develop it and allow it and pursue it. And he gives you more. As you continue to seek to humble yourself, to grow in his presence, he continues to give you more and more of himself. You know, and I've heard it said, you know, we need more of God. Now, maybe God needs more of us. Maybe we need to surrender some areas in our lives that we have fought with for years. Oh, that's painful. Oh, I know it is. I know it hurts. You've got this door in your heart that's locked with a chain, with guards standing on it. Mm-mm. If that door comes open, I feel like the very fiber of who I am is going to fall apart. And God's like, Jesus is like, I know what's in there. I can see through that door, and he's the true Superman. He can see through. Not only see, he knows. He knows the struggles. He knows what you're going through. And he has compassion upon you. All he's asking is, let me have it. I know it's ugly. I was there, and I know how it got there. But I also know how to deal with it and take care of it and how to walk you through it so you'll be stronger and more of who I called you to be. That's hard. It's hard to trust sometimes. Trust me. It's hard to trust. Sometimes it is. Oh, but it's worth it. Maybe if you can't open the door all at once, maybe dismiss one of the guards. Then tomorrow dismiss another one. Get a little closer, take the chains off. And finally, tell the Lord you may want to close your eyes for this one. Now maybe we need to close our eyes, because once that door opens and all that ugliness in there, He's going to look in, and it ain't going to be there no more. He said, what was you talking about? That room's clean. Because he took it away. Now walk in it. You've got the glory over here. You've got my presence in here now. This is your past, and it is gone. Now let's move on. Let's be what I've called you to be. This is relationship with our God. This is not a religion. This is a relationship. God compares it to the husband and wife relationship. We are the bride of Christ. Now, I don't know about you. You know, a wife, as good as that can be, that didn't kind of insinuate you've been married a while. But the bride is something new. It's something that's, you know, it's something that is, you know, if you've ever met someone, like when I met my wife now, you know, when I met her, you know, I did things I normally wouldn't do. You go out of the way. You take a shower more often. You comb, if you have hair, you comb it. You know, you put on cologne. You open your wallet and you do all these good things, you know, because it's new. It's exciting. And it's the bride of Christ. You know, you want to make the other person happy. You want to get to know them. You want to spend time with them. With me, I just wanted to talk with her just to see her. And I'm still in amazement all these years later just how I thank God every day. I didn't know it could be this good. And I learned, because the reason is this good, because we put Jesus Christ at the very center of everything. And without that cornerstone, it wouldn't be very good. It would be a mess. But I learned since I put that there and get myself out of the way. And like I say, I do this intentionally. God gives us two commands, and I'll start with the men first. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Mm-hmm. What did Christ do? He entered our world and died there. He gave himself for his bride. And so should we. And I'll say this, I've said it many times, if I do that, then my wife is not going to have a problem submitting to me, because I got the Spirit of Christ. Now, submitting doesn't mean that I'm the boss. You got to do what I say. Man, hear me roar. And a lot of men have taken it and run with it. Mm-hmm. They want to win the argument. Well, the Bible says you must submit to me. Yeah, but you're wrong. Our wives are our helpmates. Had you rather be the helpmate or the one needing help? I know I need help. And she comes along sometimes, and I'm right in the middle of this whirlwind. She just like says one word, and she's like, oh, why didn't I think of that? Thank you. And it all works out together. It's God's plan. It's God's order. And if you follow God's order, you'll walk in his blessings. You don't, you won't. Just about that simple. Trust me, I did that. It don't work very well. I fought tooth and nail for years. I'm going to do this thing or die trying. And only through his grace I didn't die trying, because I nearly did. Mm-hmm. Several times. It's very simple when you finally get to that point of surrender. Okay, God, uncle, I give up. Good, that's what I've been waiting on. Mm-hmm. Now we can start the journey of faith. And we did. And we have. There's been mistakes made. There's been problems. There's been issues come up. But you know what? We're more than conquerors through each and every one of them. There's none of them that can stop you unless you allow it. You know, just learned that, you know, that failure is not when you fail. Failure is when you give up, when you quit trying. I think it was Thomas Edison when he was working on inventing the light bulb. I think he's the one that did that. I didn't pay much attention in school like I should have. But, you know, if someone come to him after several hundred attempts, maybe even more, mm-hmm. of trying to get the light bulb to work, and it wasn't working. Mm-hmm. Someone says, are you going to quit now? He goes, no, I now know there's, we'll call it 1,259 ways that will not work. So I know not to try any of those. Mm-hmm. So he kept on trying, and he finally got when it did work. Success is only failure that tried one more time. Now, there's times in my life, and this is where the Holy Spirit comes in, that you're fighting to get something done, and maybe there's a remote possibility, maybe this is not God's will. This may be. I'm not saying it is, not saying it's not. I'm just saying go and pray, Lord, am I fighting the wrong battle here? Am I distracted? Have I got the football running the wrong way? See, we have to come honestly, humbly before God and lay it out before Him and say, Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, I've made a mess of this. I've hurt people's feelings. I've done damage over here because I let myself get in the way. How many times? I can't count that high. I've done that. But the times I can count, God saw me through them. As long as I humbly come before Him, He will, and always has, bring me to the place that I need to be to do it the right way. God knows we're not perfect. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you. God loves you today. God wants to be your everything. When He said, you shall have no other gods before me, He wasn't talking about, well, you know, as long as I'm your number one God, you can have your number two, your number three. No, no other gods in my presence. He wants to be number one on a list of one. And He will accept nothing less, and nor does He deserve anything less. He deserves us to be His children. Abraham was the friend of God. We are the children of God. Abraham might have been a friend of the family. We're God's children. Now, Abraham, I feel like, was more as we start to get into this. Abraham was an idol-worshipping Gentile in Ur of the Chaldees. I done a little, had time for maybe a 10-minute study on Ur of the Chaldees before I come in. It was a very great city, advanced city. I think it was back in the 1920s as archaeologists went and uncovered some stuff, clay writing tablets. They had everybody in Ur of the Chaldees could read and write. On one of them, it caught my attention that on one of the tablets had a very advanced trigonometry problem on it that took them years to solve. I thought, wow. Most of the homes back then had some type of running water. I mean, not like we have today, but had water. Each home had bathrooms in it. Had the B&W in the garage, you know, all that stuff, you know. Now, they were just more of a fancier place. And here's Abraham right in the middle of this, doing good, you know, worshiping the moon god probably. And all of a sudden one night, the true and living God appears to him. Now, he's probably around maybe 60 or 70 years old at this point. And I don't know about you, but if the true and living God appeared to me in my bedroom one night, I'm probably going to have a cardiac. Mm-hmm. You know, but I'll say this, we're not given the details of what took place when that happened. But what did take place was enough to change Abram at that point, to change his life, for him to see this is the true and living God that has appeared to me. So, you know, there's different places where it talks about it, you know, in Book of Acts chapter 7, where Stephen's giving his discourse before the Sanhedrin. You know, he gives the detail that's not in the Old Testament that kind of puts it this way, that when God spoke to Abraham to move away from your family and your kindred, it kind of indicates that he only moved up river, and his father and half his family went with him. And it says after the death of his father. Well, he still had a lot with him. So as you see, Abraham was growing in faith. You know, there's two different words in the Bible that describe knowing and knowledge, you know. And the word used for here is different from any of those, that Abraham was okay not knowing where he was going, that type of knowledge. Now, us men, you know, y'all can relate to me on this. We won't have the details. We want to know, okay, we got the plan. This is today, tomorrow, next week. This is long-term projection. We're going to have it all together. But you could you imagine God appearing to you, leave your family, everything that you have, and go to a place that I will show you. Well, Lord, where's it at? I ain't telling you. Which direction? Just follow me. Would you be okay with that? What if God come to one of us today and spoke to you and says, okay, just you and your wife, or if you're married, or you and your husband, whatever, I want you to leave your home and go to a place that I'm going to show you. I think we'll probably have a 3-day prayer meeting on that one. Mm-hmm. Lord, was that you or was that the devil? You know, I mean, just, you know, we read these stories so glibly sometimes. You know, these were real people. They had feelings just like we did. They were comfortable just like we are. They had things they enjoyed just like we do. And here's Abraham. I can imagine at this encounter, he's like, I had an encounter with the true and living God. Huh? Who's that? What's wrong with the God we got here? What'd he say? Said for me to pack up and leave. Where are you going? I don't know. Huh? Sarah, did he fall and bump his head last night? You okay, Abe? Yes, I'm fine. He encountered something he'd never encountered before. And as hard as I were to try, if I were to talk to each one of y'all individually, try to explain the God inside of me, the spirit that dwells in me, the relationship I have, it'd be like me trying to explain color to a blind person who's never saw. They may grasp a little bit, oh, it's different, but what is red, blue, green? I don't know. Never saw it. It'd be kind of like that. It's not something that could be imparted or explained. It's something you had to experience for yourself. And the same with y'all. If y'all were to come to me, my relationship, I'd be like, oh, that's good, great, wow. Hope it works for you. But in your heart, you know what you have, and you know you're not who you used to be because you have been born again. Now, the problem with that is there's so many running around nowadays. There's been no real change. They said a simple prayer. They may even shed a few tears. They may have said the sinner's prayer, and the preacher said, you are hereby now saved. Now, how does he know? He don't. But if I tell you, you are saved, then you quit seeking it because you think you're already there. So many people, sadly, so many people are walking around in that state thinking they are okay when they're not. So if there's not been a change, an inward change in you, I think I would question some things. Mm-hmm. We can be sure. Mm-hmm. We can be. Now, we may doubt at times, God. You know, I think we all have these feelings. God, you know, when I have these feelings, are you really real? I'll start looking at things, even the human body, the DNA code, and the digital code, and this, our little tent, this is the temporary wrapper. And how in depth is it? How wonderfully and fearfully and wonderfully made is it? And it's just the tent that's coming unraveled in places. And how greatly designed is it? This couldn't have happened. I used to use the story, you know, many of you know I'm into computers, you know, not as much as I used to be, but I used to enjoy building them, and I still, the technology of it, you know, and somebody, I show them a picture, wow, that's a nice system. Where'd you get it? Well, out in the backyard, I had a pile of scrap metal and semiconductors, and lightning struck it, and I went out there, and here's this supercomputer. Well, that's crazy. There ain't no way that happened. Exactly. So you're telling me, okay, but first of all, where did the pond scum, the scum come from in the pond? Where did it come from? who sent the lightning? You know, when God created everything, he stepped out in a different dimensionality into nothingness and said, let there be light. And light was there. Wasn't no light there, just light everywhere. He didn't create the sun and the moon and stars till later on. You know, and he spoke everything into existence. Now, and I said this to several, there's really no true atheist. If you say you're atheist, that means you know. You have searched every inch of heaven and earth, every planet, every dimensionality, everything that is, and you've determined there is no God. No one's ever done that or could do that. If you're agnostic, it means you don't know if there is. I'm okay with that. That word agnostic translated into, I forget which language, I think it's Italian, means ignoramus. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so if you're agnostic, you've got more faith than I do. Because it takes a lot more faith to believe in evolution and all this stuff than it does to believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. If you can get past Genesis 1 and 2, the rest of it you shouldn't have any problem with. So here's Abraham. Packs up the U-Haul, if you will. The U-Haul, U-Haul. Yeah. Sets out with his wife, and apparently his father, and don't know who else might have went with him. Moved up river, I don't know how far, maybe about 30 miles. And while he's there, his father passes away. So he becomes a little bit more obedient. You know, and sometimes obedience comes in increments, little by little. Any of y'all ever, when God gives you something, everybody's like, great, we go, we got it, we're gone. Now, it usually don't work that way. Maybe at times. Most of the time, when God speaks something into your spirit, lays something on your heart, you toss it around. With me, if he wants me to do something in December, he starts now getting me prepared for it because, you know, it's going through my hard head. It's going to take that long to get across to me. Maybe you're not that way. I am at times. But what I've learned is this right here, that Abraham was a man just like us. He had his problems just like us. He had his doubts just like us. But Abraham, through the experience he had that, whenever it happened, night, morning, day, I don't know. It doesn't say, I don't think. That God appeared to him was real enough to him to change his life. For him to know, this is real. When we have a born-again experience, we know this is real. This is something I have never experienced before. Got up out of that floor January 15th, 1983 at the Cedar Town Church of God. Something had happened. I didn't exactly know what. I knew the colors were different. The birds were singing louder. I was a different person. Oh, I still had my struggles. I still had a lot of stuff to deal with. But something had changed. 45 minutes of laying that altar just crying out, God, forgive me. I have pretty much cursed your name. I have been in the enemy's camp for a number of probably 8-9 years in witchcraft and just evilness and just all kind of garbage. And you want me? You're calling me your son? You're saving me? Yeah, I'm saving you. Because I love you too much to see you to lose you. And here's Abraham, right in the middle of his mess. God appears to him. He begins to be obedient. He moves out. He gets up river. Then, in the midst of this, you know, like I say, God continues to peel that onion back, continues to get him on his way, to finally, he takes off this, him and Sarai and Lot, and a lot of cattle and a lot of sheep and a lot of other stuff. But God had to create a situation to get them to part company. He finally got Abraham where he needed Abraham to be. It wasn't instant pudding. Didn't happen all of a sudden. But God walked him through it. Now, each little step, Abraham was learning, experiencing, experiential knowledge and learning. God is faithful. God is faithful. God has got me out here away from home into this place I'm not familiar with, but yet he's not letting me down. He was in a dangerous neighborhood, if you will. They were big cities with walls. It was not a steady place, but and Abraham lived in a tent. When he come out of Egypt, he was overloaded with silver and gold. Heard one pastor put it this way. He said, I'd like to try that for about a week. Whatever left at the end of the week, I'll give back. But let me just have to too much. But like I say, he brought more than silver and gold out of Egypt. I mean, we'll get into that later on. But he could have stopped on this hill overlooking the sea. Sarai, this is like a nice place to build a castle. He could have done it. He had the manpower and the money and the ability to do it. Chose not to, because the tent defined his relationship with this world, temporary. The altar defined his relationship with the next, permanent. He was looking for a city whose builder and found whose builder and maker is God. Not only was God the builder of it, he was the architect. He's the one that designed it and built it. That's what Abraham was looking for. Is it not what we're looking for? Be honest with you, I wouldn't mind if it was a two-bedroom shack with a roof leaking as long as Jesus is there. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking for. And I know it'll be much more, and that's okay. I'm not looking for a five-mile yard, a 20-story castle with all the bells and whistles. I'm looking for this, the peace of being there. No more backaches, no more heart problem, no more anything. Won't even be no blood flow. You never realize that? Because when Jesus, after his resurrection, handled me and said, if I'm not flesh and bone, not flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. Adam and Eve, if you will, and this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh before the fall. I think the blood drive, the carbon burning system come in after the fall, but not important, but still I think, you know, everything changes. The blood had been drained out. That was a sacrifice he made for us. Mm-hmm. He was demonstrating the resurrection body. He could appear and disappear from one dimension to another. You know, he could hear things and you didn't know he was there. I mean, interesting. But anyway, we'll start reading here. Abraham, verse 8, 11, chapter 11 of Hebrews. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he had or would receive as an inheritance. And went, and when he went out, not knowing where he was going. And we'll stop there. Like I said, imagine that. Abraham obeyed. That's your key. Your blessing is in your obedience to God. Not in your good works. Not in all the good things you do. Your blessing is in your obedience to what God has told you to do. You mean it's that simple? Yeah, it's that simple. Is it easy? Not always. Most of the time, not. But anything worth having is never simple or easy. If you work for something to obtain something, it means a lot more to you. Mm-hmm. Not that we could work and never attain anything from God, because it's just not possible. But God gives us, I think it's in Ephesians, where he says, you know, that he's prepared something along these lines. He's prepared good works for us to do in advance. So not only has God prepared what we're to do, he's already got the course laid out. All we got to do is walk it out and keep our eyes on him. And you'll go right through it. Get your eyes off of him, you're going to bump into the wall and fall down. Then you get up, okay, Lord, forgive me, and you keep going. The world says three strikes, you're out. No, you keep striking until you knock that ball out of the ballpark. You know, Jesus is the pitcher. He's not trying to throw it where you can't hit it. So he knew that he was going to receive this as an inheritance, or his descendants would. But he didn't know where was he at. Abraham was there in this land, and when his wife Sarah died, he didn't have a place to bury her. He didn't own nothing. He was in a strange place. You know, a stranger is someone's away from home. A pilgrim is someone that is traveling home. We're strangers and pilgrims. We have two addresses. We have one address in whatever city you live in, Cartersville, Woodstock, Acworth, whatever you want it to be. Our trouble is in our home address here. Our other address is in Christ. We ain't no problems there. They're all on the other address. But just imagine, like, he's journeying out, okay? He's got Lot, and finally God, you know, brings the situation. Confrontation is not always from the devil. He may stir it up sometimes. But sometimes God uses that to bring about his plan. So Abraham knew he didn't learn to trust God. So he told Lot, he goes, okay, you look up and you pick where you want to go. If you go to the east, I'll go to the west. If you go north, I'll go south. Your call. So Lot looks up and he sees, wow, beautiful land, plenty of water. I see a big city over there in the distance. I want that. Abraham, good. Take off. Then Abraham said, lifted up his eyes. Then he began to see, okay, this is where I want you to go. And I will provide for you there in the place that I put you in. And he did. You read through the story. Abraham obeyed. Verse 9 says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreigner, a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac, Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which had foundation, whose builder and maker was God. So, as we look through this, it took Abraham years to grow into the place of faith that God wanted him to be. Same with us. You're in the journey, this journey of faith. You're in it now. You're walking it out daily. Oh, there's problems. You know, unless you're isolated somewhere away from everybody, you've got your share of problems, whether it's work-related, health-related, financial, all the above. They're there. This is earth, not heaven. But if God healed you of every little bitty or big trouble that we may have, and we reach our wallet and it's empty, God, $1,000, great, thank you. God, I was healed, good. You'd live in this fallen state forever. Mm-hmm. Now, who wants that? Everybody wants to get to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there. Wow. And that's true. I mean, anybody in this room ever died before?
No.
No, we do this one time. Mm-hmm. It ain't like we're going to go through this several times. Oh, this is not no problem. You just quit breathing and you wake up in glory. This is a one-time thing. And yes, it can be scary. Because all we know is here. This is what we know, are familiar with, I should say. Not all we know, but we're familiar with here and now. We're familiar with our job. We're familiar with our home. We're familiar with everything here. And at the end, when you're laying in that bed, if you happen to go this way, maybe with hospice, maybe surrounded by family in a hospital room or wherever, you know, none of that's really going to matter. How much money do you leave behind? All of it. You know, if all I leave behind, which ain't going to happen, is for my kids and whoever to fight over who gets what, then I ain't left very much. Because it's all going to be gone for long anyway. But if I've left behind a legacy of trust God, walk in His ways, stay obedient to the call, if my children, grandchildren now, co-workers, family members, and whoever else is seeing me walk in faith, and they look at him, and they may not understand it, but there's something different about him. Now, my grandkids didn't know the wild side of me back in the days, and I'm thankful for that. One of my children decided to tell one of my grandchildren about my past, and he's like, he had a cardiac. You mean Papa? No. He didn't believe it. I said, yes, unfortunately, it was true. And he's like, he's still bewildered to this day because they only know the me now. If y'all were to line some people up from the 70s and 80s and even through some of the 90s, back when I decided to try it my way, you'd get some different stories. And I'm thankful for that because I'm no longer that person. That's the old me who has been crucified and who is dead, who still occasionally tries to stick his head up. And I'm like, no, not today. Done been there and done that. Got the battle scars and T-shirt. Do not want to go back. There's nothing left to go back to. There's nothing new out there. That's the reason now if I have someone who is struggling, you know, and they pretty much already made their decision that they want to turn back and go back into the world, I say, well, there's a door. Go back. Go send some more. Go find out there's nothing new out there. And when you get beat up a little bit more, come on back and we'll try this again. If you want to do that, go. Go. If that's what you truly want to do, go. It saddens my heart to see it because I know what's going to happen. Not because someone told me, because I done it. Time and time again over the years. Not recently. Not really since 2006. After 2005, God tore everything down I held near and dear and taught me some very valuable lessons and began to bless me and build me up and bring me into a right relationship with Him. Now, I don't even want to look at direction no more. But if you're online or you're struggling with it, go do it. Not with my blessings, but if you choose to do that, then go. Because the worst place to be is right on the fence. You're not happy in either camp. And I promise you, you're not going to be happy in the other camp. Been there, done that. But, you know, like I say, I thank God for taking over this morning. I didn't really get into the scripture because, like I say, coming home yesterday, Pastor Grady called me about 2 o'clock. I hadn't even got to Atlanta yet, and I was just had one eye open at the time. And, you know, and I got home and said, I need to get something together. And I can't even see the words on the tablet. And I said, well, I'm just going to go to bed. And, you know, and any other day, I'm up at 3 or 4, whether I work or not, I'm wide awake because I get up at 3 most mornings to go to work. Not today. Clock went off. What is that? It was 8 o'clock in the morning. I got to get up. But what I did when I went out this morning to pray, I said, Lord, don't let it depend upon me. It's not about me anyway. Most of what I've just told you, I'm hearing it about 2 seconds before you do. And I hope and I pray I've truly said something that has encouraged each and every one of y'all. That's my goal. That's my heart's desire. Yeah, I had a good time on vacation, relaxing time, you know, just, you know, there were times I stopped and I got my Bible out and I did study, you know, and I did my prayer time. But most of the time it was entertainment. It was watching the waves roll by. It was just relaxing, you know, get tired, go take a nap, get up and walk around, just see a show. I mean, it's we love it. And I come back refreshed, and some of the other words wore slap out. You know, but like I say, God is faithful. I've learned that a long time ago. And I'm sure you heard me say this one morning about 15 years ago. I was teaching Sunday school. I had a bad week, tired, didn't feel like doing it. Reached to get my Bible out of the back seat saying, this is going to be a disaster. And it's like God said, noop, 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 on my shoulder. He said, hey, have I ever let you down before? No, I'm not starting today. He's never let me down. He may not did it the way I wanted him to do, and I'm thankful that he didn't, because it wouldn't have worked out too good. We just think sometimes we've got it together. We think we know best. God, if I were you, I would do it this way. Well, I'm glad that you're not, and he didn't. You ever been there before? I'd put both feet up, but I'd fall. So I'll close in this with prayer. It's not us giving God our to-do list. It's so many things. Oh, God, if you would just smite that boss, and you would give me that promotion, and you'd get me a better car, I'd be able to serve you better. Just think, if I had $1 million, how much more I could help out. Yeah? The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of it. I don't want to be corrupted with too much. And I don't want to be desperate without too little. I've been on that place a lot of times over the years. But I was in rebellion. God would give you just enough for you to get by. And I'm thankful for that, because if the father of the prodigal son had sent him, cash tap him about $100 every day, he'd still be there today. And he could have done it. Not through cash out, but he could have done it, you know. He chose not to. But he chose to wait. If we're a prodigal, he's waiting for us to get beat up enough to come back home. But our prayer life, I'm learning more and more, should be a communication, a communion with him. Lord, beautiful day you're creating. Lord, thank you that I woke up this morning. Thank you, Lord, that I had a warm bed to sleep in, and cool house in the summer, and warm house in the winter, and I've got all these things you've blessed me with, Lord. Let me keep them in their rightful place. Lord, you know I'm going into work today and I'm going to encounter some issues. Help me to handle them the right way, God. You notice it's in Acts, you know, when Peter and James, maybe Peter and John, Peter and somebody, they got drugged before the Sanhedrin. And they were commanded to do not teach in this name anymore. Stop it. Quit. Don't do it no more. They couldn't decide how to, it's Peter and John, because it's a crippled man. They couldn't decide how to punish him, because here's this guy that was over 40 years old jumping around. Yay, I can walk. Whoa, yeah, you know. And they all knew him that he was crippled. And now he's not. They couldn't decide how to punish him. So when they let him go and they went back, they had a prayer meeting. I'll have to paraphrase, but you notice in that prayer meeting, sometimes it's more important what they didn't pray as much as what they did pray. They didn't pray, oh, sovereign Lord, smite that ruler. Give him the botch. It wasn't none of that. Oh, Lord, give us someone who will turn this place around. None of that. But it was, Lord, enable your servants to do your will, is the gist of it. Empower us to do what you've called us to do. And I really think God was pleased with that prayer, because after they prayed, the place was shaking. God's like, yes! And the whole place shook. It's almost like, you know, when Paul and was in prison there, and the jailer, you know, and they were in the very bottom part of the dungeon, if you will. And there's not modern prison. The top part, you still have some fresh air. The middle section, pretty bad. You were chained up. And if you had to go, you couldn't go. You had to go where you're at. If you're in the bottom, you're in the middle of all that. Many people died just from the fumes. And here's Paul, I think it was Silas. My mind's out of it. Down there, right in the middle of all this, stuff hitting him top of the head. You know, hey, Silas, you remember Amazing Grace? I ain't gonna try to sing. I ain't gonna try that. Which, don't do that. But they begin to sing. God began to tap his foot. Boom, boom. Flesh started shaking. Chains come undone. You know, and by those, if you were a jailer and whoever escaped, you were responsible for their sentence. He thought everybody had fled, so he's going to kill himself. I'm dead anyway, so I'll do it my way. And with one shout, Paul stopped it. Now, Paul and Silas weren't praying, "Oh, Lord, get them. I can't believe they done." You know, they were praising God. I'm not there, I don't think. I don't want to find out. But they were obedient. And through prayer, we must learn it's a communication. You ever stop and think maybe God has something to say to you instead of what we want to tell him? Maybe he's got something to tell us. I think he knows a lot more about today than I do. Danny, you got a struggle coming up at 9:30. He ain't never done this to me before, but along them lines, you know, I've got it taken care of. There's going to be a wreck up here on 75, and I'm going to delay you this morning. You're going to get mad because you're running late, because you poured your coffee out or you stomped your toe or whatever happened, you know. You're going to be delayed and late, and you're going to fuss and gripe, but I kept you far enough behind to keep you from getting killed up here. Wow. Forgive me, oh Lord, because I'm bad about that. The older I get, the worse it gets. Here I am trying to... Lord, then I stop for a minute. Lord, you've got this thing. They're not going to run me off in a few minutes late. They may run me off some other reason, but not for being late. But trust God. Walk in his ways. Cry out to him. And by far, dive into his word and do not get out. Go down to the deepest depths you can get to and drown there. Study his word. Get some people you can trust, mentors you can trust, or God puts in your path, maybe I should say, and you'll come to trust them. He laid several in my path, and they have, I've never met either one of them. One of them's already in glory. The other one lives up north, and several more. But through these two men of God, studying through Calvary Chapel, verse by verse, book by book, one of them's down to earth, very realistic. Other one's so deep, you can't even see him and stuff. You put them both together, it's wonderful. And since 2006, when I began to study under these two, God has took me places. He desires to take you places, and I'm sure some of you are on your way. But trust God. Communicate with God. Pray. Study his word. These, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, so on and so forth, are laid out for us to learn from. He didn't put all their dirty laundry in a bestseller. There's some things they probably wished wasn't in there, but it's used for his glory. Trust God, walk in his ways, stay faithful. I ain't going to predict any future, but I don't think we have long. We may have 100 years. I don't know. He hasn't come to me and told me what he's going to do yet. I look at it, and there's so many scenarios that could play out. I'm like, which one's going to hit first? I don't know. I ain't going to say I don't care. I'm concerned a little bit, but not worried. Because he said, when you see all these things, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. And it's coming one way or the other. Something has got to take us out of this world to get home. Lord, all I've asked, however that happens to be, let me do it in a way that glorifies you.